Welcome to Disney Dream Depot for March 11th, 2010, with Dreamer Brandy and Dreamer Mike. This is episode number 8, where we discuss Give a Day, Get a Day, hotels, and Disney dining plans.
Once a lonely caterpillar sat and cried to a sympathetic beetle by his side. I've got nobody to hug. I'm such an ugly bug. Then a spider and a dragonfly replied, if you're serious and want to win a prize, come along with us to the glorious annual Ugly Bug Ball. Come on, let's crawl, gotta crawl, gotta crawl to the Ugly Bug Ball, to the ball, to the ball, and a happy time we'll have there. One and all at the Ugly Bug Ball.
Good evening, Brandy. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Mike. Doing very good. How are you?
I'm doing terrific. The weather is finally warming up out here, and it's feeling like spring, so I am happy, happy.
Yes, it's been raining the last couple of days, and it's finally cleared out, and we had some sun this afternoon, so we're happy about that. Hi, everyone. Glad to be here.
So while we're waiting for the room to get going a little bit, just wanted to find out, Brandy, did you hear that they finally put out a Disney Premier Passport? This is a really cool passport that actually allows you to get Disneyland and Disney World, along with all the water parks, Disney Quest, Wide World of Sports. You know it. You know, it comes. But the one downside I see is that it's got a $700 plus tax price tag.
$700. That's difficult for a family. You know, it's difficult for a single person buying that pass. But, I mean, then again, if you're able to go to, you know, California and Florida, I don't know if that would affect you. But, yeah, that's a high price tag for that, but it's very nice to be able to go to everything and park hop and the water parks, that's, and Disney Quest, that's a lot.
Yeah, it really is. So moderator asked what about Downtown Disney? So Downtown Disney is a great place if you're looking for something to do outside of the parks. There's a lot of shopping. One of my favorite shops is the Lego store. A lot of dining as well. Brandy, what are some of your favorite things about Downtown Disney?
Well, we always, the first day we go to Downtown Disney, our favorite store is the World of Disney store. It's humongous. It's got multiple rooms, all kinds of merchandise that can be also found in the park. I also like the new trendy store. It's got clothes for maybe a more, I'd say, younger audience. A lot of hip types of designs. Also, lots of cute bags. I know that the Dooney and Burke bag, Disney bags, are there, along with a few other sites in Disney World. I think World of Disney might have that. Correct me if I'm wrong, but they might also have the Dooney and Burke. I also like the Planet Hollywood restaurant and Disney Quest and Cirque du Soleil. Lanuba is also at Downtown Disney. Disney Quest is a miniature theme park of its own inside of a building. It's got interactive games like the Pirates of the Caribbean interactive game. They've got, I don't remember the name of it, it has to do with Buzz Lightyear, and you get into these little cars and shoot balls at each other. So that's fun. And then Lanuba is the Cirque du Soleil show. What about you, Mike?
Yeah, I love all of it. It's amazing. But unfortunately, Steve is correct in that you can spend way too much money there. Absolutely. Yes. Now, I also see that Ruth Ann's planning a trip in July. How fun is that? Congratulations, Ruth Ann.
Very fun.
Glad to see you're going down there. How do you find out about hours, or does it matter? Yeah, it absolutely does matter. You really want to kind of, if you're like my family, we plan everything out and figure out which parks we want to get to when, and if there are extra magic hours, sometimes you want to avoid those parks. So there are a number of different ways that you can find the park hours. One of my favorite ways that I've recently started using is via my iPod Touch. This mm-hmm. also works for the iPhone. There are a number of different apps. The one I use is a free app by Versa Edge, and it's a Disney World Park Hours application. It's really great. It tells you, you know, what the hours are for each individual parks, the water parks. It'll also tell you if a water park or another park is closed. And it's just a really great application. They have another one there too for wait times for the rides. So, you know, it's a really great way to find out hours. There are other sites you can go to, wdwinfo.com, even Disney World's own sites. The Disney World sites, disneyworld.disney.go.com, I think it is. And there's a link to all the park hours there, too.
Ruth Ann was also saying, why should I avoid the parks with extra hours? Shouldn't I want to go there? Seems backwards. Well, the way that I've always looked at that is some people do not have park hoppers. So they want to utilize those extra hours, so they are going to go to the parks that have the extra magic hours, meaning more crowds. So you might want to avoid that. If you have park hoppers, which normally I do, it looks like for this next trip we might not. If you do have park hoppers, it's nice to avoid the park during the day, go to a different park, and then hop over to the park with the extra magic hours. That way we get time in both parks and we get to utilize those extra hours without dealing with the crowds all day long. What do you think, Mike?
You know, that's a great strategy. Another strategy that I like is actually identify the parks with extra magic hours and then go to those the next day. Because a lot of times what happens is people all go to the extra magic hours, they stay there very late, and then what happens is there's nobody there the next morning. So it's a great way to get in there early, get a lot done, and deal with absolutely no crowds at all.
Mm-hmm. Ruth Ann's also saying, so should I get park hoppers on my tickets, and is that more? That's going to be 50, they might have brought it up to 52 extra per ticket. It doesn't matter if that's an adult ticket or a child's ticket, they're going to be the same price. But I'm not sure if it's 50 or 52, I think the price went up. That's a personal preference about park hoppers. I like having them if I can afford them. I mean, that's something that I try to add to my trip, but I can't always because that will be $150 extra for my family. However, it's nice if you get to a park and you see that it's crowded and you can hop to a different park. You're not stuck there for the rest of the day. But I mean, what do you think, Mike? I don't know.
Yeah,
personal preference.
It really, really is. Mm-hmm. I know our family, we tend to not use park hoppers as much. Mm-hmm. We found that even the 1 year that we did have an annual pass, which by its nature is a park hopper, we really didn't use it because mm-hmm. we would tend to spend 1 day at one park, and we had each park planned out to have low crowds and things like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for us, park hoppers didn't make sense. But if you don't have kids and you're really looking to jump around and you want to do a couple rides here and then go see another park, for you, that might be a good option.
Another reason why we use the park hoppers, we love the Epcot restaurants. We love them. And so it's nice to spend a day, let's say, at Magic Kingdom, which doesn't have as much dining offers. Now, you can go to the Monorail Resorts. That's an easy trip to one of their table service restaurants. But we like to hop onto the Epcot Monorail and go to those restaurants. So that's one reason why it works out for us.
Yeah, it really is just a personal decision. Mm-hmm. But you probably want to kind of decide that before you get up and, you know, and you're buying your tickets. Because otherwise, if, you know, you get up there and tack on an extra, you know, 150 or whatever, you know, extra, depending on the size of your family. That can be sticker shock at times.
Ruth Ann said that she has twins, so that could be, that's an extra 100 right there just for the twins.
Yep, yep, it can definitely, definitely be sticker shock. But anyway, hey, Brandy, did you see
yes.
that they actually reached 1 million people in the Give a Day, Get a Day campaign?
I did, and I'm so proud to say that my husband and I are one of those million. We did our Give a Day, Get a Disney Day volunteering last Friday. We were at a local children's museum, and on Saturday they were having a Read Across America Week celebrating Dr. Seuss's birthday event, expecting 300 people. So my husband and I cut up strips of paper to go on the Cat in the Hat's hat, and then after that we went downstairs and mingled with parents and children who were coloring leprechauns to display on the wall. And so we colored some leprechauns and hung those up and cleaned up, and we were done. We got there at 5 and we were done by 8 o'clock on a Friday. So it was wonderful, and I actually received our email yesterday with our vouchers on it. So did your family get to participate?
We did not, unfortunately. But that's great that you guys absolutely got to get involved. And it's amazing to me, because that just means that Disney has actually inspired a million people to get involved in their communities. That's
and
just
hopefully they'll keep
fabulous.
Going.
I hope so too, but I think it kind of caught them by surprise. I don't
really.
Think they expected to get a million people in like 2 months. So hopefully they'll regroup and do some more.
Right. And actually, I was reading the blog today. A lot of volunteers are concerned that they've signed up for their volunteering if they're going to be able to get a ticket or not. And the man who, I don't remember his name, but who was blogging back from Disney, said that as long as you have signed up for it and you have an event coming up, that you will get your vouchers. So hopefully Disney sticks to that frame of mind.
Yeah, I really think they will. Moderator, too, is asking, can we talk about activities on Disney property but not in the parks?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. I know that there's always golf, mini golf.
The Wilderness Lodge, the Fort Wilderness, where the pony rides. There's activities there. There's the carriage rides. There's also the, oh, help me with the name of it. It's the, what you can ride at Epcot, in the Innovations building, and they also have it where you can ride them across, it's the tour.
Oh, the,
Do you know what I'm talking about? Segways.
The Segway tour, yes.
Yes, they have a Segway tour in Fort Wilderness. So that's a half a day right there or more.
Yeah.
At Fort Wilderness, or go to Animal Kingdom Lodge. I was just telling a family at our volunteer Give a Day, go to Animal Kingdom Lodge. Maybe have lunch or dinner at Mara, which is their counter service, or eat at their table service Boma or Geco, and then go look at the animals outside on the savanna. That's one of my favorite things to do. And if you just visit and don't eat there, that's free.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great idea. There's also the Wide World of Sports. That's sort of a park, sort of not. And then the one thing that I've always wanted to do, but I just never have, because it does cost a fair amount, is the Richard Petty Driving School. I've read a couple of reviews on that, and that has gotten some great reviews, and sounds like a lot of fun, but it's not something that I've done. Steve in the chat room is also saying Yeehaw Bob is free. And yeah, these are all outside. If it's raining, You know, my opinion is, hey, go buy a poncho. You can literally buy them anywhere, any gift shop, any stand in the park. Buy a poncho and do it anyway. You know, you're there. You're going to get a little wet. So what? Enjoy yourself. Have some fun. Go back to the room, dry off, and start all over again.
I actually love the rain because it always clears out the park some. When it starts raining, people leave. So that gives this more time for me to spend in the parks and you know, lower crowds. So, I mean, now if it's lightning, thundering, they're going to close down some of the outside rides. The rides do close down. Yes, Rethan. The outside rides, at least Dumbo, you've got Splash Mountain, Big Thunder. If it's thunderstorming, they are going to close down. But like Moderator 2 said, rides don't close down unless it's thunderstorming. Yeah, if it's raining, they won't.
Yep. Hey, Brandy, can you talk a little bit about resort hopping? That is a term that we use frequently, but maybe a little bit misunderstood.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Resort hopping, and correct me if I'm wrong, I would say going to the deluxe resorts and some of the moderates and even the values, if you want to look at the big icon statues in the value resorts, and looking around the resort and see what's going on. Look at the shops, the counter service. For instance, at the Polynesian, I discovered that at Captain Cook's, they have a self-serve Dole Whip stand. So in December, my husband decided to fill that thing as high as possible, and we had cheers from guests sitting down about how high he had got his Dole Whip. So that's fun, the little discoveries that you can make throughout the park. So you can utilize the resort monorail to get to the Polynesian, the Contemporary, and the Grand Floridian, and also the Transportation and Ticket Center. The Polynesian has more of a Hawaiian theme. Contemporary is obviously Contemporary. And the... I'm sorry, my phone was ringing. The Contemporary is more Contemporary, and the Grand Floridian is Victorian, and it is beautiful. And during Christmas time, we park hopped to the Grand Floridian and saw the gingerbread house.
Oh, and those are really cool.
During Christmas, that is the ultimate time to park hop because there's so many decorations. Yacht and Beach Club has decorations. And also from Epcot, you can take the boat at the back of World Showcase. There's an exit right there, entrance exit, and you can take the boat to the Boardwalk Resorts. You've got Yacht and Beach and the Boardwalk Inn. So that's a lot of fun.
I am thinking that your husband is a man after my own heart. A mountain of Dole Whip.
It was a mountain. I've got pictures.
That just sounds fantastic.
It was funny. It was funny.
I think I probably would have been doing the same thing. How much can I fit in a bowl?
Exactly. It was so high. And it was so funny when we got an applause from certain people there.
That's terrific. That's awesome.
Yes.
Ruth Ann in the chat room is asking, are there any special occasions or festivities in July? I know Disney has a lot of different festivities for a lot of different holidays. I have been there in July, but at the time I was melting and not paying attention to what was going on around me. But there are different concert series, a lot of different tributes. Brandy, have you been in there in July, and what sort of festivities have you experienced?
Last summer, we took a impromptu trip for one night, drove 6 hours during the night to get there, stayed at All Star Music for one night and visited Magic Kingdom. However, that was in July, but not July 4th. So I don't specifically know about activities that are going on. We just visited Magic Kingdom and then left the following morning. So, and the Summer Nightastic is going on, but Mike, could you tell us about Summer Nightastic? I know that we have the Main Street Electrical Parade coming, but what are some other things that are going on during the summer for Summer Nightastic?
Yeah, well, let me just reiterate the electrical parade, Main Street Electrical Parade. That's got to be my favorite all-time parade, and that is coming this summer, just for the summertime at this point, and I love it. I'm so excited. We're actually looking at possibly taking a trip back in August just so that we can see that before it goes again, because it's been years for me. But the Summer Nightastic is, they're redoing the fireworks, and they're putting together a brand new fireworks show that's going to replace Wishes at least during the summertime, and is supposed to be absolutely fantastic. Now, of course, I haven't seen them yet,
right.
But that's you know what we read on the blogs and things is that it's supposed to be really neat.
Now, do we know a beginning date? I heard June, but is it early June, the beginning of June, for the date the beginning of Summer Nightastic? You know, June 6th. Okay.
Yeah, June 6th is what moderator is saying in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go with that because I heard June, but I wasn't paying too exact date. So I don't know the exact date, but it seems like it's probably June 6th.
Yeah, I'm really sad about that. I'm happy for everyone who's going during the summer. I'm very happy. However, I'm missing out. We're leaving the 23rd to come back home, so of May. So I will not be able to see that. So we might have to do one of our impromptu one-night visits so that we can see the parade and the new fireworks.
Yeah, I'm really excited. If we lived closer, I think we would definitely be doing a trip as well. Unfortunately for us, it's 16 hours one way. So
wow.
That's not a great drive.
No, that's hard drive.
Yeah, so that's that's why we're planning or trying to plan a trip down into the resorts. And actually right now they've got a really great deal going on as well, where you can actually get up to 40% off on rooms even during the summertime. So now it's actually a really good time if you're thinking about going to Disney World and you want to get a great room rate. Now's the time to take a look at what resort you want to do and book it. Because 40% off on some of the resorts, that's 40% right now is on the value, and it can be a great deal of savings on your room.
Ruth Ann says that her son has a food allergy. Should she bring her own food, or for most things, it's eggs and dairy? I know that Disney is very good about food allergies. If you have advanced dining reservations for a sit-down restaurant, I would suggest that both put that on your reservation and also call ahead, if not beforehand, at least when you get down there, to let them know and see what the options are to make sure that your son likes that food. I personally have dealt with allergies all my life. I have a nut allergy, a peanut allergy, so I've dealt with that. But they're really good, and they also have a book that they'll bring out and show you what's in the food, all the ingredients. So what do you think, Mike?
I think Disney is one of the most conscientious restaurants and service that I've ever seen. They will, when you let them know that you have an allergy, they will actually come out to your table. A chef will come out and interview you, determine what kind of allergy, how severe it is, and will walk you through everything that they have. And if it's a buffet, they'll literally walk you through the buffet and show you what to eat. They'll go down the line. Don't eat this. It's got milk and dairy in it, or milk and eggs in it. Milk and dairy would be the same thing. You know, go ahead and eat this. This is okay. This is not. And if they don't have something on the buffet that you can eat, a lot of times they'll try and accommodate you and they'll cook you something special. So they really, really work hard with you. And Ruth Ann, you absolutely are going to need advanced dining reservations. That is almost not an option anymore. The restaurants get very, very packed, especially during promotions like free Disney dining, which happens tends to happen later in the summer or in the early fall. But it's very important. Yeah, it's very important to do dining reservations in advance.
And you can do those online. Also, you can call the number. Thank you. The Disney Dining at DisneyWorld.com, and also you can call the Disney Dining phone number and talk to a cast member and get reservations that way too. 407-939-3463.
And start now because a lot of reservations will allow you to make reservations 180 days in advance. So people actually, you know, 180 days out, they're not going to be getting there for 180 days, are already putting in their reservations for it. So if you don't start early, sometimes where you think you want to eat may not be available.
And Ruth Ann said, we were thinking about maybe doing a Disney dining plan. What are those, and will they make the reservation for us? Well, there's multiple Disney dining plans. There's three. The first one is the quick service dining plan. I've never used that one before, and hopefully Mike can tell us more about that. But I think that you get two or three quick service a day? Two. Mike, hopefully you can help. Two snacks per day per person, and you each get a refillable mug. And quick service are the restaurants that you walk up to, you place your order, you get your food, you go sit down. The table service dining plan, you get one table service per night per person. You get one counter service point per night per person. And you get one snack per night per person. I have used that almost every trip that I've taken in the last 4 years, any long trip that I've taken. I love it. You get, at your table service, you get an entree, a non-alcoholic beverage, and a dessert. You cannot substitute the dessert, the entree for the dessert. You can't get an entree with it. Normally, if there's really something that I want, I pay out of pocket for that appetizer. Excuse me. So those are always, I like doing that. It does save you, I think it says about 30%. Especially if you like the higher-priced entrees at the restaurants. If you're wanting to do a two-table service signature restaurant, which is Citrico's, Yachtsman, Narcoosie's, Gico, Yachtsman, I've said that one. Can you think of the other ones, Mike?
There's the Brown Derby.
Brown Derby, yes.
At the Hollywood Cinderella's. Studios. Yep, Cinderella's.
Yes.
There's California Grill at the Contemporary. And there's also one other dining plan as well that's right. Not as used frequently, and that's the Dining Deluxe. And Dining Deluxe is pretty much, it's dining your way. You get three meals, period. You get three meals. They can be all table. It can be all quick serve. It can be a combination. Doesn't matter. You get three meals all included. And then you also get two snacks a day per person. So, and then the final one that I've never tried, but I've always thought about it, is the wine and dine. And that's basically just the dining plan plus some wine credits that you can use at most of the table service restaurants that serve alcohol. And, you know, the dining plans can be a very good option, and I'm actually going to speak a little bit of heresy here. I do not tend to use them when we go to the resorts, mainly because I don't like as much food as they actually give you. And when I have the dining plan, I feel like I have to eat it all. So I tend to get the most expensive entree, you know, get a terrific dessert, get a snack, and I find out I just eat too much. And for me, it's actually cheaper and easier to fit my lifestyle if I just pay a la carte.
I completely agree with you. Actually, for this 10-day trip, we are not using the dining plan, and it was for the same thing. We eat so much and beyond being full, which makes us miserable for the rest of the day or the rest of the evening. So our plan this go-round is to go to the grocery store when we get there. We always have a car. Eat breakfast in the room. Have a light lunch or snack, and then eat counter service or a table service for dinner.
Yeah, and if you're looking at having you know, three kids doing a lot of walk up, then you know a quick service meal plan might be the right way to go for your family. The other thing that I've heard a number of people say is that you can't beat it for the kids. They, you know, the expense is not that great, and the amount of food that you get is terrific, especially for growing kids. So, you know, that the quick serve plan might definitely be a way that you want to take a look at.
And also, if you do want to try to do a walk up for a table service restaurant, I will give you some advice that I have found out, at least on this last trip in December. If you, let's say we were going to Sci-Fi at Disney's Hollywood Studios for lunch, but we did not have a reservation, it was just a sudden decision. We got there right at 11 o'clock when they first opened up for lunch and asked if they have any walk-up reservations. Also, I've heard of people doing the same thing at Ohana for dinner. If you get there right at 5 o'clock or before 5, and you might have an hour wait or more, but sometimes they can work you in. So it does not hurt to ask whatsoever.
Yeah, and you know, you might be surprised that you can, you know, score some great meals at some restaurants you never thought you'd get in. You know, one time we asked, once we got to the resort, we asked if there was anything open for Le Cellier, which is in Epcot in Canada, and it's you know, they happen to have something. So always ask, because it can't hurt. And Brandy, it's funny, you mentioned Sci-Fi. It's Disney has a new science fiction movie coming out. It's a little bit of a sequel to another one, but it's called Tron Legacy. I'm a big science fiction fan, and so I was excited to see that. But I was reading on the blog that they're actually redoing the trains, the monorail, the Epcot monorail, to take pictures out of the movie, and they're turning them into the Tron light beams. And so I was kind of chuckling at that.
Mm-hmm. I saw that too, and I'm going to show my age here. I posted on Facebook today, can anyone tell me what Tron is? I know it's a movie, but when was it out, and what was it about? And I found out it came out in 82, and I was born in 83. So I've never seen it. I know that it has to do with computers and people riding motorcycle looking the
yeah.
light beams, like you said.
Yeah.
And when I saw the graphics for the Epcot monorails, at the time I didn't know it was going to be just the Epcot monorails. I thought that it would look really cool, but at the same time I thought, that's kind of iconic to cover up the whole entire, you know, the all of the monorails is what I was thinking, you know, to cover them all up with graphics. That made me sad, but I can't wait to see it. Now that I know it's just Epcot and I can have both, I'm excited. And now I want to go see Tron. I want to rent it.
Yeah, Tron was a great movie. You know, in the 80s, computers were really just coming into their own and really being accepted into public. You know, that's when you saw some of the first desktop PCs. So PCs were a very big science fiction genre, I guess I'll call it, and Tron was basically about a guy that gets sucked into a computer and what's going on inside the computer. Very science fiction-y, very geeky, so that's, you know, of course, why I love it. But it was a great movie that used some very good special effects for its time. So they were brand new, and nobody had seen anything like them before. Now we look back on it, of course, and think, oh my goodness, I can't believe, you know, those were the special effects. But for the time, they were very good. Moderator is also asking, what kind of things can I do in Future World in Epcot? Brandy, why don't you start us out tonight? What do you like doing in Future World?
Okay, we don't spend a lot of time in Future World, but we do love Test Track. I've never ridden Mission Space. However, I've heard that that's a great ride. It's not for the faint of heart. But there are two levels. One spins and one does not spin. We use Innovations. A lot of times we go to Innovations building so that we can utilize our Disney Visa card to get the free picture with whatever characters are there for that day. And if you present your Disney Visa, maybe, Mike, you can tell me which one it's in, East or West. But you can show your Disney Visa and you can get a free picture, a photo pass picture with the characters that are there, which you don't know beforehand. There's also the Segway that you can try out in Innovations. And I've never done that. My brother did that in December and said that that was, you know, really fun, that he's always wanted to try one out. What do you think, Mike? What else? What do you like to do in Future World?
I think our absolute favorite is Test Track. We really love, you know, getting in the car and going through the test sequence. It's a great ride. We've done Mission Space. My wife and I did Mission Space when it was the original. I forget what it is. I think it's like it was 2G. And it was the spinny. They didn't have the non-spinning side. Mm-hmm. And It kind of was a little much for us. It threw our equilibrium off for the rest of the day.
Right.
But we recently just tried it with our son, who's now 6, we tried the non-spinning side, and it's not too bad at all. The non-spinning side is much more tame, and it was actually you know, pretty fun, and I enjoyed it. Knowing that I wasn't going to be nauseous for the rest of the day. But, you know, at Epcot, it's a terrific park just because it is so large. And on the whole, it's like two parks in one, really, because you have all the rides in the front, and in the back you have the World Showcase. It's got, you know, you've got all the different worlds around the lake. You know, there's Mexico, Norway, China, Germany, Italy,
Canada.
U.S., Canada, Japan, France. Love the pastries at the French bakery.
Yes.
United Kingdom. They have the fish and chips. Spectacular. There's Morocco. So you have all these different countries, and there's 11 of them that have tons of things to do. In Japan, they have the candy lady that does Japanese candy art, spectacular candy art. In Mexico, there's terrific margaritas and shopping.
And they're building a new table service. And in Mexico, they're building a new table service. They have they're removing the counter service that's across the way from the big main building in Mexico, and the small kiosk that was built for food and wine has stayed open, and it's serving counter service currently, and they're going to build a table service slash counter service building that's kind of over the lake. So that's really exciting. I'm looking forward to that. We have ate table service at San Angel Inn before, and I know a lot of people cut that restaurant down. However, I loved it. It was really good. And as far as the lady in Japan, I read recently that, now I don't know if this is correct, and I hope it's not, but because of food laws or something along that line, that she's no longer going to be giving the candy away to someone. Mike, have you heard that?
Oh, no, I haven't, and that's too bad. My son actually, this last year in December, was selected by her to have a candy sculpture done. And he got a tiger, and it was so neat, and he was so excited to take that home. And I tell you, I had to carry that thing the entire day and protect it from getting bumped or damaged, and it was such a pain to get home in the suitcases. I mean, we carried it on, but he was just so excited. So that's too bad that they can't give the candy away. But I tell you, it still makes a great show too. It's really neat to see how she does it. You know, she does this amazing little, you know, push-pull thing. She goes, 1, 2, 3, look, there's a kitty face. It's amazing.
Now, have in Japan, have you ever seen the ladies who get the pearls in the oysters, that where you can pick the pearl? And I heard that you always pick the ugliest oyster. And that's going to have the prettiest pearl. I'm excited. I'm going to do that this time, on our next trip, because I've never done that before. Have y'all ever done that?
Not at Japan. We did do that in downtown Disney. There's a mm-hmm. little stand there where you can pick your own oyster, and we did. We got a very pretty oyster, and turned it into. I think it was a ring mm-hmm. that we put it on for my wife, and so that's very neat. I didn't know about the picking the ugliest one though, so that's a great
yes,
tip.
Yes, I heard that you picked the ugliest one, and that's going to have the prettiest pearl. And also, I found I just found it on eBay, but a pearl cage that is like a Cinderella's carriage. So I'm going to put the pearl in that necklace. It's the necklace with the carriage.
Oh, very
so,
cool.
Mm-hmm, that's and it was very cheap. It was not. It was under $5 for the necklace. So I mean, it's not high quality necklace, but it's fun.
Quality. we just want the cool things.
I know. I want the cool carriage. Yeah.
Exactly.
Disney
exactly.
themed.
That's right. So that's very cool. So no, I've not done that in Japan. But we have eaten in the teppanyaki restaurant there in Japan, up on the second floor. The name of it is escaping me right now.
We have Teppan Edu and yeah. Tokyo Dining. Teppan
yep.
Edu is Teppan Edu. The where the cook cooks it in front of you. It's the hibachi grill. And then Tokyo Dining is a sit down restaurant where they do have food like the tempura, chicken or shrimp. They have many sushi choices to choose from, and that's a really good restaurant. We always eat there every time. It's nice.
Yeah, we went to Teppan Edu, and that's great, because I mean there's a dinner and a show for you right there. So that's absolutely a fantastic place to eat. Good
also,
food, too.
I also want to point out that a lot of the counter service around World Showcase are wonderful. We found a new one to us, Tangerine Cafe, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, over in Morocco. They have some great, great dishes. Nothing fancy. It's a lamb shawarma, I think. Is the name of it, where they cut it off of the big thing of lamb, and they had couscous and It was just a large plate of food for what you're paying. And then also the Sunshine Seasons over in the land, that has a wide variety of choices to choose from. One time we got a pork chop with mashed potatoes and green beans, and that was wonderful. And also they have nice sandwiches and nice desserts. Moderator 2 is saying, what about transportation? Do I need to get a rental car when I'm at Disney World? I think that the buses are wonderful. The bus comes to your resort. They go to each park. They're constantly en route. You're never waiting for too terribly long of time. Now, we've waited 30, 40 minutes before for a bus, but that's few and far between. And that was mostly at the All-Stars where they were sharing buses. If you'd like a rental car, that's nice. You can go at your own pace. If you have a stroller, like we did when Tyson was really little, it was easier just to have our own car because the stroller that we used was so big. We didn't use the umbrella stroller. But then again, if you park, you're still going to probably need to use the tram to get to the park if you're parked further back in the parking lot. Or at Magic Kingdom, you utilize the TTC, the Transit and Ticket Center, to use the monorail or the boat, the ferry to take you across. So that's just, you can get a car and that would work, or you can use the buses. They're great, or the monorail. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, if you're staying on property and your plan is to really do Disney, then I think you can do very well without a vehicle or a car. So I think you can really get away with that without it. Moderator 2 is also asking what other Disney or dinner shows there are. It's amazing. We always come back to food here on Disney Dream Depot Live.
But favorite.
Oh, it is. Another great dinner show is the Hoop-Dee-Doo Review. Again, that's a dinner show. It's very vaudevillian in style and is really great for kids as well. They're really, really funny about it. And then Kitchen Diva Cat is asking, what can you tell me about Pop Century? Now, I've not stayed in Pop Century. It is a value resort, so it is one of the more themed resorts at a lower price. Brandy, have you stayed there? Do you know a little bit more about it?
Yes, we stayed there for 10 days in December and then one night in July of this past year. It's a value. It is standalone, whereas the All-Stars are right beside each other and share buses. Pop Century does not share a bus between any other resort. It's a great resort. I love it. Personally, I wanted to stay there this time. My husband wanted the nice pool at Coronado, so that's where we upgraded to. However, the pools at Pop Century are wonderful and big and themed. Each building section is themed to that century. You've got the 80s, the 70s, the 60s, and they've all got icons around those buildings. They've also got icons like Mr. and Miss Potato Head and the computer, and there's a computer pool, and then there's a main pool. Counter service is great there. You have multiple areas to choose from, different types, and their store is hooked up to the counter service. It's not separate, so that's nice. The kids can go look at stuff while you're finishing eating if you want that. I love Pop Century. It's great. The bus service was always right on time and fast. Never had any problems.
Yeah, and Ruth Ann's asking about, she's taking kids. She's also going to be pregnant. And, you know, what 7 months pregnant, what should she do? And the moderators Maria have both really hit it on the head for part of it, and that's stay hydrated. The summers are very hot and humid in Florida, and it's very important to stay hydrated. You need to drink. I'll say it one more time, drink, because you will be sweating. Easy ways to stay hydrated, you can go to any walk-up counter where the, you know, like a food counter service counter, ask them for a cup of water. They'll give you a glass of ice water. You can also have a case of water sent to your room. Buy it online and send it to yourself at your resort. That's a great, and then bring the bottles of water into the park with you. That's a great way to get bottled water in the park without paying $2.50. A spray fan from Walmart is a great way to stay cool. Taking a break in the afternoon, it's just, you know, whatever you can do. There's also rides that you can do that are inside, air conditioned, Carousel of Progress. You know, it's just important to stay hydrated and take some breaks. Brandy, what else can you think of?
Well, I was also going to say that you can, if you're flying down and you're not able to bring things with you, you can use Garden Grocer. It's a website, and you can order food from there, and they'll deliver it to your resort. You can also use Sam's Club to order water from. I've heard of people doing that, and I think that you can get free shipping with the water there from Sam's Club, and they'll deliver it. So, you know, that's one way to get snacks and get water, and so that you're not having to buy it at the park. Or utilizing, that's awesome information, Mike, that you can get free water. I didn't know that. So that's great to know. And then take your time. For this trip, don't be gung-ho and trying to see everything, because Disney has so much to see. Some of my best, fondest memories are sitting down with my family on a bench and getting a snack and watching people go by, or letting my son run around. And one time he ran up and down at the Liberty Bell right there, the little hill, and just that was our, for like a 30 minutes he ran up and down. He's a toddler. So, I mean, the little moments like that, just, you know, take breaks and that way. Let's see. What pool is best at the Moderate? Mike, I've not stayed at a Moderate before. However, I've been doing a lot of planning with Coronado, and I know they have the dig site pool, and it seems fun. It's got a slide. I think it's the longest slide of the Moderates, and there's also a big playground there too, right beside it. So, do you know anything about the Moderate pools, Mike?
You know, all the pools at Disney are really pretty nice. I don't think you really go too wrong with any of them. I haven't been to a Moderate in quite a while, so and when I did stay at the Moderate, I wasn't swimming. So really hard for me to pick one. We stayed at the French Quarter at Port Orleans, kind of dating myself, back in like 2000. And
is there,
I mean,
the pool that
nice.
Has the dragon slide? The dragon, I think? Or am I getting that wrong?
No, I think you're right. I think they do have the dragon ride. And the moderator is saying that Caribbean Beach is themed to a pirate fort, which is very cool. Yeah,
that's
there's the
fun.
Volcano at the Poly, but that's not a Moderate resort. That is a deluxe resort. There's also the Wilderness Lodge, you know, has a water slide as well. That's really neat.
Now, as far as Animal Kingdom Lodge, which is a deluxe, it does not have a slide. However, it does have a zero entry pool, which is very nice, especially for people who have family who have disabilities that maybe need a wheelchair and can utilize that pool. It does have a slide. Okay, Moderate. Thank you. It's very tame. It's not a big slide. Okay, so. But that's a nice one. And then I visited Kidani Village, which is the new DVC at Animal Kingdom Lodge, and they seem to have a great play area for kids. I haven't seen the pool, but there's lots of fun squirt-type things, like just squirted the cannons at each other. So that seemed like a fun area at Kidani.
Oh, that's neat. That's a lot of fun. We missed a question from Ruth Ann about are there any rides she can't do while pregnant. Most of the rides will be marked if it's not recommended, but what you pretty much want to do is just stay away from any of the rides that really tend to beach you around. So any of the fast-moving roller coasters you're going to stay away from, and just try and stick with the more of the tamer rides. But there's still a lot that you can do there. They're marked very well on the maps. Not all of them. But there are definitely a lot of rides that you will be able to do with your kids. So that's just what I can recommend. We do have about 5 minutes left in the show. I do want to remind you that if you haven't gotten your questions answered tonight, feel free to come on over to DisneyDreamDepot.com. There's a forum available there. Just look at towards the bottom of the forum. There's a little start discussion tag. Click on the Start Discussion tab and ask your question online. And a team of Disney Dreamers will gladly answer your question and try and help you out as you're planning your magical experience.
That's right. Please come by. Get involved with the discussion. They're lots of fun. Good conversations going on over there.
Absolutely. And you know what? We can use your help too, because we are trying to spread the word about DisneyDreamDepot.com, and we'd love it if you would like to tweet about us or blog about us or post about us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page as well. It's a great site. It has a lot of information, a lot of tips on travel, and we just want to get the word out. So, feel free to tell a friend, tell a colleague, tell a family member, shoot. I'd say tell a stranger. If you find out somebody's going to Disney, tell them at DisneyDreamDepot.com.
Definitely.
So we have
more
just
questions?
Yeah, just a couple more minutes there. If there are any more questions, otherwise it's been great to see everyone out here tonight.
Wonderful.
We really appreciate you guys coming and listening to the live Q&A. It's a very unique Q&A where we love interacting with everyone. So we thank you for coming out tonight. So any last minute questions?
Ruth Ann, we do this every Thursday night from 9 to 10 o'clock, and we rotate out hosts and moderators. So next week, maybe someone can tell me who's going to be hosting next week, but you'll have two more hosts. So come back again next Thursday. We love it. We love that you came by.
It's different every time because with a new host new hosts, plural, every week it's a completely different show. But we do, for some reason, get back to the food in every show.
We
love to eat. Yeah, mine too.
We love to eat.
Yeah, mine too.
So, yeah, any question as far as that goes, if I don't know it, I'll sure find it out in May.
Now, as I've mentioned, I'm headed back to Disney World most likely in August, but definitely in December. Brandy, how about you? When's your next trip?
Our next trip is May 14th through the 23rd. We are staying at Coronado Springs. And actually, I just found out that it looks like my grandmother is going to be able to come with us. So we're super excited about that. She went to Magic Kingdom with us when Tyson was 13 months old, just for one day. We stayed in Daytona for that trip. And then also she took me when I was when I was 3 years old, her and my grandfather. So we're looking forward to her spending the whole week. So, and that's been an experience, her planning on how she's going to tackle the parks and coming back to the resort and resting. So I'll have a lot of information when we come back about what it's like to go to Disney World with someone who is older, needs more time and those experiences. So I hope to post about that and hopefully maybe post a trip report when we get back on the discussion board, if that would be okay.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to hear all about it and how it is traveling with some other people. Mm-hmm. So yeah, please mark your calendars for next week. We will be here at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday night. If we don't get your question, please feel free to post that question on DisneyDreamDepot.com. Again, that's DisneyDreamDepot.com, and there is a forum there. And then feel free to read our, I call them micro articles, a lot of great information and great tips on how to do Disney. So again, thank you everyone. Really appreciate seeing you all. And we'll go out tonight with a little bit of music. So we wish you a special, spectacular, magical good night.
Thanks, everybody.
Oh, hopefully I can get the music going here.
They possess a gift or two. One of them is this. They have the power to make a wish come true.
Starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight. I wish I may, I wish I might. Have the wish I wish tonight. We'll make a wish and do as dreamers.
I bet a lot of you folks don't believe that about a wish coming true, do you? Well, I didn't either. Of course, I'm just a cricket, but let me tell you what made me change my mind. You see, the most fantastic, magical things can happen, and it all starts with a wish.
My principal.